not woke. Make that clear. Awake, not woke.
Hello and welcome, initiates, to another episode of the Awake Not Woke podcast. My name is Sarah, and this is episode 44. We are talking about energy work 101, all types of energy work, but we're not going to go too deep into any particular subject because this is a big umbrella subject that covers a lot of different topics. So we're going to talk pretty generally about everything. And if there's any particular thing you want to hear us talk about in a future episode, let us know, because we will do that. And we plan on doing episodes on all of these topics eventually, but let us know which one you're most interested in. And you can do that on Instagram at Awake Not Woke Podcast. Send us a DM and follow us on there. Or check out our website, awakenotwokepodcast.com. And you can use our contact page, email us on there. Email us for any reason. We love to hear from you just to say hi or share some stories, interests, thoughts, whatever. Hit us up. And if you're liking the podcast, please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, whichever one you're using or whatever app you're using. If it has reviews, a lot of the random ones also have reviews now. So just go do that. That would really be appreciated by us. And while you're there, hit the subscribe button so you can see a notification when our episodes come out every Sunday, 4:44 a.m. Eastern time. I don't want you to miss it. So get the notification and you'll never miss it. And if you're really enjoying the podcast, check out our Value for Value shop, where you can send a donation and put a number on the value you are receiving from this podcast, whatever number it is to you. It's all different. It's relative to the value you receive. So whatever works. And check out the shop. We also have some cool merch. And my co-host Chas also has an Etsy shop. All of this is in the show notes, by the way. Just go tap down there. Check out her shop, 5D Impressions, to see some hand-stamped jewelry, apparel, all kinds of cool stuff. And yeah, let's get on to the episode, Energy Work 101, episode 44 of Awake Not Woke Podcast with myself and Chas. Peace. Hey, welcome back to Awake Not Woke Podcast. This is episode number 44.
44.
Finally remembered an episode number for once in my life because you just said it. It's Sarah and Chas, as usual, and today's episode is going to be about energy work. So I think it's probably going to be one of those 101 type of episodes, lots of general information, probably some personal thoughts and experiences too. So I hope you enjoy it.
Yeah, definitely a 101 type episode, especially considering this topic spans a lot of different other topics, which was a lot of our 101 episodes at the beginning of this was exactly that, like a topic that was a broader topic that mm-hmm. encompassed a lot of more nuanced topics. So this is going to be an all around encompassing energy work episode. And let's start from the beginning, like I like to do as much as possible, and talk about what energy work means and what it is. So first, let's talk like literal physical science-y. Like I like to start with the logical stuff. So definitively, energy is a quantitative property that must be transferred to a body to perform work. And that's like the physics definition of things. Work in physics, like the word work, means to operate, to energy transferred to or from an object via the application of force along a displacement. So that's a very like physics-y sentence. And it's literally a equation, like work and force and energy, right, and yeah. displacement. These are all legitimate physics terms that describe energy and the different properties that a physicist can work with it. So there's things like kinetic energy, which is the energy of a moving object. There's potential energy, which is the energy stored by an object in a force like a gravitational field. Like I'm pretty sure if you threw a ball up in the air, that is the potential energy being activated. So like if a ball is just sitting on the ground, it has potential energy, but that energy is only activated when you throw it up in the air and then it's falling from the sky.
Got it.
There's also radiant energy, which is energy carried by light. So we can measure energy. Energy is not some woo-woo concept. Vibrations aren't some woo-woo concept. It is a thing. We all have energy. We all feel energy. We all experience energy. So energy work in spirituality is healing or moving or just in general working with the energy within your body. So this is where it gets into a lot of these specific topics, because there's a lot of different cultural ideas behind energy. There's a lot of different specifics involving the chakras and meridians and different points that conduct energy along the body. There's a ton of different practices of energy work, mm-hmm. which we'll get into in a second as well. But energy work is just what it sounds like. It's working with energy. And you do this without knowing you do it.
Yeah.
Everybody works with their energy, but what we are talking about in particular is like choosing to work with your energy.
Yeah.
So some different types of energy work would be working with your breath or working with your aura, working with the chakras, anything that involves those type of things are going to fall within this category. So who can do energy work?
I literally have that written down in my notes. I put who can do it.
Love it. Love that.
My answer is anybody.
Anybody. Yeah, that's exactly. Anybody can do it. You do it all the time, even when you don't know you're doing it, like I just said before. But when you learn how to feel and recognize the subtle energy within your body and within the world is when you can really start to choose mm-hmm. to do energy work. So let's talk about like, what are some what are some times when you've experienced energy and the feeling of energy, but not like when you've done energy work? Like what's an experience you've had?
That hands down, yoga. And I know that like you could argue yoga is a form of energy work, which it is.
Yeah.
But I think for a lot of people that maybe aren't privy to that sort of energy work, spiritual aspect of it, could even recognize this looking back. So when I first got into yoga, I was more so doing it just to strengthen my back. I have scoliosis, just wanted to strengthen my back and take good care of my body.
I remember when we first started talking about it, because I have a fucked up back, not that is yours, but.
And you showed me yoga with Adrian,
yep.
who I still very much love and use to practice her. With. So that was kind of where I started with yoga. I knew that there was a spiritual side to it, you know, and I would create my little space. I would have my mat outside, put my crystals out, but I wasn't really fully connecting with energy in that moment.
Yeah.
It was very much just about moving my physical body. Once I went through my yoga teacher training, I was fully immersed in everything that was yoga. And I remember a specific time during yoga. With yoga, there's a lot of different aspects to it. But one thing is they talk about the different energy lines. So for instance, when you're in a triangle pose, your hand is pointed down, one hand is pointed up. So there's a lot of different energy lines that you can connect within that. Your feet.
Would that be the meridians?
Maybe. I think you could probably relate it to that for sure. I don't really remember. I know we talked about meridians, but I don't know if that was in relation to this specifically, but it would make sense if it were.
I think because meridians are what connects like the chakras and stuff together.
Yeah.
Like so where the energy flow, the channels that it flows through.
Yeah. So that would make sense. So with that, I remember I was doing an assignment for one of my classes one day, and I had just done a yoga practice, and I was just kind of sitting there after. I wasn't really meditating, just kind of sitting there. And I remember my hands were at my heart and I dropped them down and I couldn't see anything, but I literally felt a ball of energy in my hands. And that was the first time that I ever felt energy from this aspect that we're talking about. And I remember talking to my instructor about it and I was like, I felt it. Like it was literally in my hands. I could feel it. I could form it. It was a ball. Like I had it. She was like, yeah, that's real. That's energy work.
Yeah.
So that was probably my first intense.
What did it feel like?
It just felt like It felt round. It felt spherical, maybe because of the shape that my hands were in at the time. Warm. And like
fuzzy, or
like
was
squishy
it like,
almost. Yeah. Like not like a...
Was it like tingly at all?
I didn't have tingly at that point. I did have other experiences after. Actually, the Psychic Witch book, that was one thing that I wanted to bring up, because yeah, the exercises definitely. At the beginning of that book actually...
That's like entirely energy work for sure.
100%. And with that, I think you can get a really good grasp on how to recognize and manipulate your own energy.
Yeah, definitely. And let's talk about recognizing that energy again for a second, because your experience with like the energy ball is a very... It's very on with what we're talking about, but I feel like there are a lot of moments in your life, anybody's life, before you even know anything about spirituality, where you feel this subtle energy, but you don't realize that's what you're feeling.
Yeah.
So something like an example that I would give would be, let's say you're in a room and a stranger walks in and you just get a bad vibe. Like
feel the energy
shift. Yeah, like you feel the energy shift, and whether it's like this is a bad person or maybe that person got in a fight with another person and there's just like an energy shift, but you know something changed there. You're not sure what, but you feel like something changed there. And that is the type of energy that we're talking about. And you don't necessarily realize you're feeling it unless you know that's what you're feeling.
Yeah. Yeah. I think probably even going back earlier, going into that place of not really knowing necessarily what it was, and you know, was in church when I was a kid, even as a teenager. I mean, at that point we weren't calling it energy. We were just calling it God or the Holy Ghost. But I guess that would probably be my first experience, because you know, I've shared a lot about my upbringing in the church. Some good things, some not so good things. But one thing that I'm sure of is that I felt God at different points, and God is energy. So that would probably be my earliest recollection, whether that be most commonly, I would say probably in music, like, you know, in any type of worship. And worship is a form of energy work, in my opinion,
for
too.
Sure.
Same as prayer.
It's like the cultivation of that energy.
Yeah. And the movement of it. I mean, when you get into worship and music, I mean, you can get into dancing, you can get into raising your hands.
Oh yeah,
that's like a release, you know. It's a reverence.
Tai Chi.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. So that's probably even earlier than yoga.
Yeah.
But yoga was probably the first time that I didn't know what it was, but I kind of did.
Yeah. Another example of like a moment where you may have moved some energy in your body and you didn't realize it, maybe more so for women on this one, but for both, when you like have that really, really hard, ugly cry, like you cry so hard and it's been building up for so long, and then you just release all of it, and that feeling of like the ugly crying and breathing and heaving and like the choke in your throat, and then after, like, you almost feel that lightness release, or like something just being left from your body because you're releasing all this pent up energy, whether good or bad or whatever. That's energy work as well. And like crying and that type of
it's emotion, a release.
Is, yeah, is a release. I think a lot about with this type of subject too, some of these classes, or I don't even know what you would call them, they're like intensives almost, where it's like the cacao ceremonies and stuff like that, or even like a ayahuasca ceremony. That's a little more intense because you're obviously taking a substance, but like cacao ceremonies are very like energy work-esque also. I follow this guy on Instagram. I don't remember his Instagram handle right now, but I'll tag it in the show notes. But he has these intensives where he has like a women's and a men's intensive, and he kind of just like goes around, gives you like comfy blankets, and it's one of those, I forget what it's called, it's something about like movement where you like pound on the ground and you scream, and you like, he goes around and kind of like helps you like breathe and like pushes on your chest, and like,
I think
like
I've squeezes seen this guy you or someone kind of like him.
Yeah, I think it's a thing, but this guy is like a really popular guy who does it, and I honestly would love to do it. Like, it looks really interesting, but that's another type of energy work where you don't have to know anything about energy work, but you'll feel the energy in one of these things. But if you learn to recognize this energy that we're talking about, you can do this energy work yourself. Now, you can always go to a practitioner who already knows how to do some of these energy work practices. But I think the real connection with yourself and your own energy comes with learning what you can do yourself. Because I feel like a lot of assumptions about this type of energy work, the first thing that always comes up, at least in like new agey modern society, is like Reiki.
Yep.
And you think like you have to go to a Reiki person and they have to like wave their hands over you and move the energy. And you have to have a lot of faith that this is like a legit thing and they know what they're doing. And like, you're kind of, I don't know, you might like overthink it. Like, am I feeling it? Or right, doing right. it? Doing it yourself is a lot more successful, I think, because it requires you to really tune in with your body. And I guess it would require you to tune in with your body to really feel it with somebody else too. But when you tune in with your body and really start connecting with your energetic body, you really start to understand like, oh, when I breathe this way, or when I think this way, or when I move this way, or when I whatever, this type of energy starts to build up, or this type of energy starts to release. And it's really powerful.
Yeah. With Reiki, I think what you had said about doing it on yourself, it's totally possible. And one other thing, using a practitioner, there's a lot of things that I could say about that. I have had Reiki with two practitioners before. One time was really great. Other time was okay. But one thing I did want to mention is you're still doing the work. The yeah. Reiki practitioner, in my opinion, is just providing and cultivating that space for you to connect with your energy. And yes, you're opening yourself up to somebody else feeling your energy. But at the end of the day, it's working because you believe it's working, not because this person has some kind of special crazy like power or will or talent. I mean, you are just simply trusting somebody else to allow you the space to do what needs to be done. And maybe if you're not familiar with your energy, you're not aware of it happening. And if you are going to use a practitioner, I will say, just caution, like make sure you trust, definitely, you know, who you're doing that with. I heard a story once from a girl. I don't know all the details of it, so I might butcher it. But moral of the story is she had a Reiki session done with a lady. And afterwards, she started experiencing a lot of like pain, anxiety, discomfort, disease, like a lot of those things. She was also, I think, maybe after the fact, she went through a Reiki certifying course. And so she had another session done with a totally different practitioner. And that practitioner told her that whoever had worked on her energetic body previously, like, cut her.
Damn.
Like, yeah. And I mean, I don't really know how to actually describe what that means, but like right. use your imagination.
Yeah.
Left some sort of alarming mark in her energetic field that could have potentially resulted in all of these negative things that she was experiencing.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Also, if you're doing it with like a friend or, you know, coworker, if you're working in that field, like maybe just make sure that like you're comfortable with being vulnerable with that person and like that they're not going to go and air out your laundry to everybody.
Yeah, definitely. But
I think Reiki is a great tool. I think using a practitioner, that's up to your own discretion, but I think doing it yourself is just as effective.
Absolutely. And
honestly, a really, really great way to get to know yourself and that power within you.
Yeah. And there's a lot of other types of energy work as well. Energy work is very much like a blanket term. Reiki, I think, is one of the first things that most people will think of. But a few others that I have written down are breath work, which is literally, there's
pranayama,
ujjayi breath. There's like box breathing. There's
breath of fire.
Yep. The one where you plug one nostril and then plug the other nostril. All kinds of different breath work, or just simply fucking breathing, like consciously taking deep breaths will help calm your energy. Lots of different things. Kundalini is like the cultivating of the sacred energy of the spine. Smudging, using sage or Palo Santo. Chas and I both gesture to the bowl of Palo Santo on our table. That is like a smoke bath. And the idea is that smoke, especially smoke burned from something that is more sacred and high vibrational to begin with, has a high vibration that can connect deeper with these really high vibrational energies. Because again, we've talked about this in like a million episodes, but everything's vibrating. Everything has a vibration. Matter is just energy that is vibrating at a low enough frequency for us to conceive it as, or to perceive it as matter. So energy is just vibrating at a really, really, really high frequency.
Yeah.
And your own personal vibrations can be higher or lower. And that can depend on what type of energy is flowing through your body. It can depend on a lot of different factors. And actually, but I'm going to cut myself off because let me finish these types of energy work. And then we'll get into more of like, what are you working with? So smudging, reflexology is another one where I feel like this is another one where people can kind of like write you off because it's a little weird, but it's just points in your hands and feet. It's literally just like pushing on and massaging specific points in your hands and feet. It's supposed to not only help move the energy, but some people believe it helps like other physical problems that connect with different parts of your body, like different organs and stuff. There's also along that same like reflexology line of thinking is acupuncture and tapping.
And massage too.
And and therapeutic massage. There's also, I already said, Tai Chi. A lot of martial arts work with energetic properties along with the physical and fighting aspects of martial arts. And then crystal work. So crystal bitches always get kind of shit on because there's like, oh, my crystal, my healing energy. But the idea behind crystals is that they, again, we all have vibrations and we all have atoms, and those atoms are aligned in a certain structure, and the atoms of like a regular old rock are probably pretty messy and not like super organized in structure. But then the structure atomically of a crystal is very geometric and specific in its structure. Therefore, it is able to conduct and hold onto energy easier than any other structure. And that has scientific basis because all computers have quartz in them. Quartz is a conducting feature in most technology. I guarantee you your phone also has quartz in it. So this is a real thing. It's not just a fucking woo-woo thing. But the woo-woo thing comes in where different crystals have different structures and different properties and different ways to work with them. Now, the thing about crystals specifically, and I'm going to go off on a little rant here, is that people think just having them is like the whole thing. And I just have this rose quartz and now I'm going to fall in love and I'm going to love myself more, whatever. That's not how it works. There's like effort that goes into it with all of this stuff. There's effort that goes into it. But I mean, with Reiki, obviously you're not just like, I'm Reiki. You got to do something. You got to do it, like move your hands or think or breathe or something. Like there's effort involved. But for some reason, people don't think that with crystals. They're just like,
I'm aware of this. And like,
yeah, no, you have to cleanse your crystals. You have to charge your crystals. You have to maintain your crystals. You have to work with your crystals. So if you want to work with energy and you want to use crystals, that's great. But like, do a little more research into it.
And on that note, that goes for any divination tool, because spell casting and all of that could even be a form of energy work too.
Now that you say it, definitely.
I think so.
It's just different energies. I think with this episode, I was kind of thinking more of like the subtle body energies.
Yes.
And spell work, I think, is energy work where you're working with universal or the larger energies.
Yeah. And I think either way, it's a manipulation of energy.
Yeah.
And where that energy is in relation to you is here nor there in that argument. But with any divination tool, just make sure you take care of that shit. Like if you're going to be using your crystals or your tarot cards or anything at all, just like, I don't know, do a little prayer.
Treat it with respect.
Yeah, do something over it. But that's not really related to this.
Still a good point to add. So now let's talk about like what are we working with when we're doing this kind of stuff? Because you don't need to know what you're working with to do energy work. You can just feel the energy. I mean, I just said like do some research on crystals if you're going to do that. But like to do simple breath work or to do simple even like Reiki, I would even say, even though I don't know a ton about Reiki, you just got to feel it and you got to feel that it's working. And even with like yoga, like if you just do your own flow, like you're not following it along in a video, you're doing your own yoga flow, there's no really wrong way to do it. You just got to feel it and feel the stretch in your body, feel the move in your energy. But what's going on there? So let's start with, first of all, again, 101 episode. So eventually we'll have maybe more in-depth episodes about part like the chakras or the aura or the auric body. But for now, I'm going to give you like a little brief explanation, but the book Subtle Body by Cindy Dale is a really thorough, it's like an encyclopedia of the auric body. So check that out. Goes into reflexology, acupuncture, the aura, the seven bodies, energetic bodies or whatever, all of that stuff, chakras, all of that. But we're not going to go that deep in here. But let's start with the aura or the auric body. That is the energetic / electromagnetic field that surrounds your body. You may have heard in like woo-woo new age communities, like, oh, what color is your aura? Yeah. Or I can see your aura or auric photos, stuff like that. But the aura is simply just the energy field that surrounds your body or your energy body. And this is the body that you're working with when you're doing energy work, whether it's specific layers to the energy body. There's like a lot of more, again, nuances that go into this conversation mm-hmm. that I'm not going to cover here, but that's like the energy you're working with. It extends out from your body, but it's also in your body. It's like everywhere. And within your auric body, you have chakras.
Yeah.
Or chakras.
Chakras.
Chakras. A lot of most people listening to this podcast have probably heard of chakras, but they are energy centers that regulate specific energies throughout the body. And there's the seven main ones, but then there's chakras just all over the body.
Yeah.
Like literally everywhere. There's like 12 chakra systems, like 100 something chakra systems. There's a million different chakra systems, but the main ones that everybody knows about are the seven chakras.
Yeah.
And look that up. I think we do kind of have an episode talking.
I think it was in the yoga and meditation episode, because that was something that I learned about in teacher training. But
yeah,
each one is associated with a different color. There's even different sounds associated with them. You can look
like
up
frequencies.
Mm-hmm, and there's like lam, om, like different sounds is the only way I know how to put it. But yeah, they're super powerful, and you can balance your own chakras like anytime you want.
Yeah. And different, like you said, each one has a color associated mm-hmm. with it, but like the wearing of those colors can help influence those chakras or the listening to the specific frequencies. Like this is all forms of energy work. Like if you have trouble, this isn't a chakra episode by any means, but if, for example, you have trouble speaking your mind, your throat chakra may mm-hmm. be closed up a little bit. So
what color is your throat? Light blue.
Light blue. So wearing like a light blue color or carrying around light blue crystals or crystals that you have charged with the seventh chakra in mind. There's a lot of people who list like different chakras that align with vibrations of different crystals that align with different vibrations of certain chakras and stuff like that. So these energy centers are what our energy is flowing through. And if any one of them gets blocked or closed up, then you get like an energy backup. And that's when manifestations of negative things start to happen.
That's what I was kind of just going to touch on. I remember one time, I think it was we were going to do some type of ceremony. Maybe we were just hanging out and reading cards. Mm-hmm. But like, I remember looking at you and seeing like yellow, like crazy amounts of yellow. And you were like, I actually have a really upset stomach right now.
Oh yeah.
So it can manifest in ways like not being able to speak your truth or like literal physical symptoms. So like I have a bellyache. Maybe my solar plexus chakra is blocked. And for whatever mm-hmm. the reason may be, that's something that you're going to have to figure out on your own. But it can manifest into, you know, physical ways too.
First, absolutely. And then the meridians are those pathways that connect the chakras and that they flow through. And when I was taking these notes, I couldn't help but think of Avatar The Last Airbender and the whole episode with Aang and the guru, because they go through all the chakras and explicitly talk about them. And it's a great, great episode. but he particularly talks about how the chakras are like pools, and they're these pools of energy, and starting from the base and going up the spine to the crown chakra, the energy flows through them. And energy flows in every which way through the body. It's not just this one way, but the main way of thinking is from the base chakra, or the root chakra, up into the crown chakra. And it flows like a river. So it starts with the pooling of the root chakra. It flows up into the solar plexus, sacral
and
chakra,
then solar plexus.
Pools in there, flows up. And then it's like, it's as if the pool was flowing down, filling up the next pool, flowing down, filling up the next pool. So that's kind of how these energies are flowing. And the meridians are the connections between those things. So right there, you have a lot to work with. My brain immediately is like, how the fuck do you know any of this? Like, who figured this out? And I think a lot of it comes from, just like with astrology, it comes with time and observation. Yeah. And these ancient people who figured out these things, the people who wrote the Bible, the people who wrote the Bhagavad Gita or whatever, these are the people who their generations over time began to notice these subtle energies and began recording these subtle energies and working with these subtle energies and figuring out different ways to work with these subtle energies. And eventually it was found that there are these systems that are inherent with everybody and can be worked with to solve certain energetic properties. I do also believe that, again, because energy is just vibrations, some people may be able to train themselves to see this energy be able to tap into these higher vibrational energies, and actually be able to see the chakras, actually be able to see the meridians. So a lot of legitimacy to this, but it takes just a little bit of an open mind to allow this possibility to make sense.
Yeah. One easy practice that I do, that if you're a beginner and you're just kind of interested in maybe wanting to visualize, for instance, the chakra system. So when I'm working to what I think is balancing my chakras, I just simply visualize a red color. I start there, and sometimes it's faint, sometimes it's really, really strong. So start, look up the chakra colors and work your way from the base up. And with each place that you go to, just take a second and really focus on it, because that's going to allow you to get familiar with each energy, but more importantly, the flow of that energy and with yourself. So if you're interested, that, I mean, just fun fact, might work for you.
Yeah, that is a great way to work with the chakras and learn to work with the chakras. So the next thing I have in my notes is, what are some reasons you might need to do some energy work or want to do some energy work? Is that what your notes say too?
Yeah, I have why.
Great. Great. You had who and why.
Yeah.
So good. So I have just like a little list. Some reasons that I thought of are, you need to release a blockage from trauma. I think that's a pretty big one that a lot of people could relate with, whether it's an extreme trauma or a less extreme trauma, whatever it is that may be affecting you from your past or your childhood, that might have left an energetic scar. Like you said, that person had a cut in their energetic body. These traumas leave marks on our energy. And that's where things like phobias come from. And using energy work, and especially things like Reiki and yoga and Tai Chi and breath work, we can learn to release and heal these energetic wounds that we have. Just like if we broke a leg, you'd need to set the leg. You need to rest your leg. You would need to do physical therapy or maybe get surgery, reconnect tendons. There'd be some process of healing, and you would actively do things to heal that wound. But we don't do that with traumatic wounds. We just kind of don't do anything and hope it goes away, or push it down, and that energy blockage just gets worse and worse. So that's one thing. I also have, if you want to generate creative forces, if you're like trying to be more creative, trying to get inspiration, if you're trying to manifest something, you might want to do energy work and make your vibrations more aligned with the vibrations you're trying to attract. You could also be trying to channel something or increase your psychic abilities.
Like align with something.
Yeah. Yeah. Or like just practice remote viewing or practice astral projection or anything like that, you need to know your energy because that's all very subtle energetic work. You could just for health reasons, like mm-hmm. to help heal physical aspects of yourself. I think that a lot of energetic imbalances, like you were saying before, manifest in physical reasons.
No doubt.
So that's an aspect, or just anxiety and depression. You just need to work with those things, like a million different reasons. That's what I have.
Yeah. I had a pretty much covers all of that, but I just had that maintaining our energy states or our flow of energy. It's vital to our physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. And when we are, for instance, just going about our day to day, you exchange energy. It's a currency, right? So right now you and I are paying one another with our energy.
Totally.
We're exchanging it. So when you are interacting with somebody, it's only natural that maybe some of that energy might stick around. So that is great when you're around somebody that is amazing and you really love and their energy is great and bright and it uplifts you and helps you kind of become more of what you want to be. But it could also go the other way. I mean, think about when you're around somebody and you just kind of feel like that energy vampire sucked feeling.
Totally.
That is something that doesn't have to stay that way so long as you know how to transmute or kind of work through that energy. Energy can't be destroyed or created. That's like a law.
Yeah.
But we can move it and we can. I used to say that all the time in my yoga practices. We can't create it, we can't destroy it, but we can move it. And I think that's why yoga is such a powerful tool for me and for a lot of people when it comes to maintaining a healthy energetic body, because it does connect with that physical aspect, but with the subtle aspect too. And spiritually speaking, it helps you prepare for that spiritual warfare.
Absolutely.
I mean, if you're not strong spiritually, this spiritual warfare is going to knock you on your ass. And part of that is having that healthy state of energetic flow within your body. And you can do that in more ways than just these Eastern philosophy methods.
Totally.
More than these like holistic methods that we're kind of talking about. You can freaking pray.
Yeah.
I mean, you literally could just pray.
You can go on a run.
You can go outside, be in nature. You can soak up those ions.
Go swimming.
Water. You can do it in the shower.
Yeah.
You can literally do it in the shower. Just stand in the water. We used to always do
salt.
Yeah. Not, yeah. Salt in the shower. Like just even
not
that.
Not together.
Not together. That's what I was going to say. And I was like,
no, I think that's so funny.
Anyway, one lady I remember told me once that when you do that salt cleanse, that's where I got the idea. She would just take a scoopful of salt and wipe it down her whole body. And she said that it basically kind of cleanses that auric field, that energetic body, that you're doing it physically, but it breaches out into those other areas. Yeah. And another thing with energy too, that I think also came from this lady, you know, you can call back parts of your energy too. So whether you're a Reiki practitioner or maybe you're just being there for a friend who's going through a hard time, you're giving that person some of your energy. When you exchange a hug with somebody that's exchanging energy, when you are caring for your energetic body, it's important to release the things that don't serve you or the things that you may have picked up along the way that don't resonate with you or align with yourself, and then call back the pieces that do, because it's not gone forever. It can't be destroyed.
Totally. And you really got me thinking. I'm surprised I didn't even take very many notes on this, but with the witchcraft comment, this is all the same stuff as witchcraft. It's all energy work. And the only difference I would think is the like differing factor is witchcraft encompasses things that you can work with your own energy, but it can also encompass working with other energies, whether, other dimensional being energies or working on energies sending to other people, whether good spells or you're cursing people.
Right.
It's still like without of you. But with this type of energy work we're talking about, it is mainly for yourself and like your internal energy work. But it is all energy work. And with the whole like transferring of energy thing, in one of our episodes recently, I think it might have been the John 14 episode, we were talking about how witchcraft is a really interesting, great practice, but you don't need it.
Yeah.
And if you want to use spells and witchcraft and herbs and crystals and candles, that's great. That's fine. But just knowing that you're just working with energy is the important part. And you don't need the crystals and the candles and the herbs and stuff, but they can be helpful because there are these physical energetic properties or these physical properties that help represent the energy that you are working with.
Yeah.
But another thing I think of is shielding spells. And this is something I still do to this day where I will put up a, like, I'll imagine that I'm in this glass tube and I'll just imagine there's just a wall around me. And I swear to God, sometimes it, like, things get quieter when I do this. Like, I'll be in a really noisy, like, in public in a crowded grocery store or something like that. And I will put up this shield and I swear things sound a little more muffled and like a little more distant because I am putting a, essentially a shield around my auric field to not let in other people's energy. Because again, like I was talking about at the beginning of this episode, we've all felt this subtle energy, even if we didn't know what we were feeling. Like when somebody negative walks in a room, or if you are just a sensitive person and you're in, yeah, or you're in any group ever and you're picking up on too many energies, you may be someone who just doesn't know how to shield your energy very well. And when you practice this shielding spells, then you start to get better at not only feeling your own energy, but feeling when it's other people's energy, when feeling you're being influenced by other people's energy. This has been really valuable for me with a dysfunctional family because I now know when I go visit my dysfunctional family members and I start feeling those weird, gross feelings I get, it's not me. It's them. And I've learned now I can just shut that out and I won't feel it at all.
Yeah. A lot of people who are empaths is a pretty well-known word. I think there's probably a lot of different ways that you could describe these types of people, but a lot of them say when you can learn to kind of, there's times when it's valuable, right? If you are maybe doing a tarot spread or, like I said, being there for a friend, having a really deep conversation, wanting to put yourself in someone else's shoes, that is literally a very easy thing for an empath to do, but that can be to a fault. So when you learn how to control that, you can definitely be able to provide yourself with a better way to distinct between the two energies, which is why all of these practices, like learning how to practice Reiki on yourself, learning how to balance your chakras, doing the yoga, praying, that's why they're so important, because it familiarizes yourself with your own energy. And if you're somebody that has a hard time distinguishing between yourself and somebody else's, that's a surefire way to make sure that you know how to tell.
Absolutely. And that is huge, being able to tell your own energy from other people's energy, and then being able to tell when someone is draining your energy.
Oh yeah.
And that's, I think, a conversation about introvert and extrovert can come into play here too, because we are all different machines, essentially. And we are all wired a little differently. And we are taking in energy and we are outputting energy. And there's a lot of different sources or systems going on within us. So if you are an extrovert, you're going to gain energy from being around people, and especially good people, positive people who are more aligned with you. That's going to fuel you. And I think anybody, introvert or extrovert, can understand the feeling of being surrounded by a good group of people and just feeling so energized. You stay up all night, you're talking to people, it's a great time. But that is essentially willingly taking on other people's energy.
Mm-hmm.
And introverted people are going to, in generally, not feel good when you're doing that. And
yes,
they're like, me and you could hang out all day and I'd feel pretty good at the end of the day. But if I was hanging out with someone who's more negative or who's just like not interesting or not like me, you know what I mean? Like hanging out with a boring person or hanging out with somebody I have to hang out with, I'm gonna feel dead ass tired by the end of that. And that is all the same subtle energy that we're talking about. Now, as an introvert, could you learn to recultivate that energy to allow you to have more endurance in social interactions? Yeah, I totally think you could. Whether how you do that, I think it's going to be up to you, but could be through repetition. It could be through Reiki or energy work or breath work. It could be through crystal work. Like you charge a crystal and that is going to allow you to be more energetically present when you're around people and give you that extra boost. Like that I all think is absolutely legitimate.
Yeah.
But it's coming to understand your own subtle personal energy, your own aura. And this gets into astrology as well, because the 12 zodiacs in astrology are all essentially names for these subtle energies. And there isn't just 12 energies, because there are blends of these energies. So there's infinite amount of different types of energies. But your personal birth chart is going to give you a little snapshot of what energies you are more predisposed to and what energies you need to work on, what times of your life these energies are going to be more present and less present. It's all very, very personal. And this even gets into the hero's journey and your own personal life journey. Like it's all going to be very specific to you as a person.
Yeah.
But it's all going to be very subtle as well. You have to be present. You have to rid your body of things that are going to inhibit you, like shitty fucking food. Not that like you can never eat shitty food, and but if you're always eating McDonald's and chemicals and soda
processed
and
shit,
yeah, you're not gonna be able to feel this type
heavy
of stuff.
Heavy drugs, alcohol,
aluminum and deodorant, yep. And fluoride and your toothpaste. Yep. These are literally, I mean, fucking even chemtrails. These are all things that are literally purposely being put out there to make us really difficult at detecting subtle energy. And this real quickly segues into conspiracy conversation, because they're doing it on purpose.
Oh yeah.
They know what this shit is doing to you. And they know that if you're less likely to understand this subtle energy, you're not going to wake up. You're not going to be able to connect with God. And God is energy.
And you're powerless if you don't, because
literally, yeah,
your power only comes from God. And the only way to know that is through accessing God within you, because God's within all of us. And if you are constantly dulling down those areas of sensitivity to be able to recognize these things, you're going to be asleep. You're going to be asleep. And there, it's just, this is why I made the comment on spiritual warfare. I think it was just in this episode a few minutes ago. I think, yeah, it definitely was. But this is, it's another reason why it's important, because I personally do believe that in the end, it is going to come down to spiritual warfare. And I don't say that from a woo-woo biblical, I mean, it is biblical, but I don't say that from that perspective only, but it's because we are spiritual beings. We're not physical beings having a spiritual experience. It's the opposite. So you have to be able to, and spirituality is largely based around energy. I mean, it is energy.
Yeah. I mean, everything is energy.
Everything.
And I love that you brought up that conversation about we are spiritual beings having a physical earthly experience, because when you become aware of these subtle energies, and I think like a lot of topics we talk about in this podcast, it's all very interwoven.
Yeah.
And it can be seen as a little repetitive, but it's not, because it's, again, very subtle, nuanced conversations that we need to be having. And the more we talk about this, the more we are cultivating that knowledge, that truth with a capital T. But that concept of we're not our bodies, we are not humans, we are spirits,
yeah,
having a human experience, comes along with this energy work. Because when you realize that, you really start to feel those energetic properties, because you're not in your body as much. You are in your spirit, you're in your heart. And I had a moment like that recently where the thought just kind of popped into my head where I'm like, I'm not my body. I'm having a human experience. And even just now, like doing it, I can feel the disconnect. I feel like I'm wearing my body.
And it's funny too, because it's all of this stuff when we talk about it, you know, we say we're having a physical experience. I think in some perspective, it might imply that these things exist outside of you. But it's not. The way to connect with all of this is to be in your body. So being in your body doesn't mean being all consumed with this meat suit. It means
knowing you're in the body,
knowing you're inside of it. Like your spirit, your soul is within this body.
Absolutely.
And you have to go in your body, be in your body to be able to access these things. They're not going to be projected. I mean, we could get into projections, but they're not going to be like outside of you. It's not something you have to go outside of your body to seek and find.
Definitely. And if it were a, you need to be all consumed by the body and be stuck in the body and more focused on the physical body, like if you were getting this be in your body confused with be the body, there's a big difference there.
Yeah.
And when you realize that, your literal, the way you see the world changes. Because I think up until a point when you realize this, you are your body and you feel like you are your body. Like
yep.
Your lips move and they're my lips. I am talking right now, but I'm not talking right now. My body is attempting to express the abstract thoughts and feelings that my spirit is experiencing. And I can't even describe enough how weird it feels, because I literally feel like I'm wearing my body right now. Like my spirit is in my body. And another little exercise you could do to really experience this is feel your toes right now. Don't like reach down and grab them, but like put your existence all the way down into the tip of your toes. What did that feel like? Like you felt the consciousness go from your head and your thinking and listening to in your ears, and it went all the way down through your body into your toes. If you were your body, you wouldn't have to do that. It would just be
right
toes. Like it would just be toes. But we are inside our body. We are not our body. So we have to move our consciousness inside our body down to our toes when we think about our toes. Like it's not just simply an awareness. It's a conscious moving of energy
right
down into the part of your body that you're talking about. So this episode really is more about auric energy work, I think, and
subtle energy body, yeah, I think is a good way to put it.
The subtle energy body, absolutely. And I can't recommend that subtle body book enough. I have not dove into it as deep as I could, but it's just very, very thorough. Like there's a million diagrams of the actual aura body and of the different parts of the aura body and the different chakras and the different pressure points on the body. It's very, very thorough if you're interested in that kind of thing. But when it comes down to it, energy work with your subtle energy, with your energetic body, is all about awareness and the direction of that awareness and using different tools to direct that awareness, whether it's just breath work, whether it's smudging, whether it's crystals, whether it's Reiki, whatever it is, it's all energy work.
Yeah.
So do you have any recommendations for our listener about where to go for learning about energy work? I know that Psychic Witch book is a great one that we'd both recommend.
Yeah, if you want a little combo of, you know, some witchcraft, but also some pretty legit energy work instructions and exercises, I think that's a great one.
Yeah. I didn't get too far in that book.
I didn't finish it either. That's why I don't want to like fully put out the recommendation because I haven't finished it. But I know that at least in the beginning, there's some really great exercises.
The whole concept of the book, I know, is witchcraft without many tools, which is energy work.
So exactly.
So
I think that would be a good book to read. I also think even just maybe putting on a guided meditation, because that's going to allow you to exercise that sense of awareness. So it's not necessarily a book or something you're actively like reading or researching, but I think sitting quietly in that meditation, focusing on the breath work, which is a form of energy work, is going to allow you to learn a little bit more about where your awareness currently is and where you might want it to be. Gosh, I feel like in the years, there's just been so many things. Yoga, just do yoga. I think if everybody did yoga once a week, I think everyone would just be like so happy.
Or even just simply, like, even if you don't want to research any of this and you just want to experience energy work and figure it out intuitively, putting yourself where you can be more connected with the subtle energy is huge, whether it's just a walk in the woods or going and swimming in a lake or in your garden, like planting plants, like being somewhere where this subtle energy is abundant And it's not, I mean, it's everywhere. It's literally abundant everywhere, but it's harder to pick up on in modern society because there's so much other shit going on.
Yeah, with all you the technology.
Yeah, and Wi-Fi yeah. and Bluetooth and fucking like your neighbor has the TV on and there's energy coming from that. Like it's literally, there's just so much energetic noise in our modern society. If you want to learn to feel subtle energy, take yourself somewhere where there's more subtle energy and less of this in your face human made energy.
Yeah. And if you want like an instant gratification sort of exercise, I think this might even be in Psychic Witch, but just like take your hands and like rub them together really, 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 really fast, like as fast as you can for like 30 seconds to a minute, and then just stop and barely take your hands apart and like feel that within it. And if you've never felt energy before, that's what it feels like.
Yeah.
And then look for that everywhere else that you're trying to find this energy. Just remember that feeling and find it everywhere. And I mean, really, we live in an age of so much information, like out on the internet, so many people's experiences. Like if you want to just like watch some shit, honestly, YouTube is probably going to be a great source for that. Or like, what's that?
BitChute?
No. I mean, there might be some weird shit on there, but like Gaia TV it is. That's a real like spiritually minded like community, entertainment community.
BitChute, I'm sorry.
BitChute, you might find some like...
It's just like an exorcist.
Watch out. Just be forewarned if you go to BitChute.
Yeah, it's funny you brought up that rubbing your palms together thing because I thought of that and I was like rubbing my palms under the table like during this episode. Yeah. But let's do like while I'm thinking of that... Let's do a little exercise that I learned back in high school, actually, when we would have a stage hypnotist come to our school and like do a stage hypnotism show.
Are you about to hypnotize me right now?
No. Okay. But he would do this to like at the beginning of the show, he would do this to explain how hypnotism works and how suggestion works. But this is also a very like energy principle thing. And he would do this first and the whole audience would participate. And then he would do this other little exercise. If you wanted to be hypnotized, you would stand up and participate in this other exercise. And it would pretty much just let him know if you're going to be more responsive or less responsive to the hypnosis. But anyway, do this with me. So starts out, you are going to put your hands together and you're going to clasp your fingers together like you're praying for dinner. Not like with your fingers facing up, but your fingers interlaced. Doesn't matter what thumb is over what thumb. Doesn't matter. But now you're going to point your fingers, your pointer finger, straight up to the sky. And not that they're going to be touching, but you want them to be just like as far apart as you can. And so you have your hands gripped together and you're kind of almost in like a finger gun situation, but your hands are holding together. Your pointer fingers are facing each other. Now I want you to focus on your pointer fingers and you're going to imagine that your pointer fingers are two magnets and they are such powerful magnets that they really want to pull together. Now I want you to really tap into the feeling of having two magnets in your hands and they are trying to pull together so tightly that you have to fight to keep them apart. So now your fingers are going to start feeling more and more attracted to each other, and that energy is going to slowly get stronger. And the more you try and pull your fingers apart, the more they are going to start pulling slowly in together. And soon you feel yourself, your fingers are literally shaking because you are trying so hard to separate them, and they're getting closer and closer, and eventually your fingers just touch, or you're still fighting that energetic feeling.
I'm fighting it.
But the more you cultivate that energy and the more you focus on your fingers, the more you'll feel that energy between them. And I'm not a hypnotist. I'm not the most descriptive person in the world, but it's about the focus. And that's why this hypnotist would do it. And he is trained in this art of suggestion to help you tap into that subtle energy and to use that energy to convince yourself that something is happening. That's what a hypnotist does, is they do the energy work for you and convince you that you can do this. Because sometimes it's hard to convince yourself that you can do this.
Yeah.
I mean, especially with stage hypnosis stuff, like if I told you, and I'm just a regular old person, that you're going to lay down, close your eyes, you're not going to remember any of this, and I'm going to get you to stand up and cluck like a chicken or something, you'd be like, yeah, no, you're not. I'm not fucking doing that. But somebody who is easily hypnotized will do just that, and they will have no fucking memory of it. And the reason they're able to do that is because the person doing it was able to tap into that subtle energy and subtly influence them to believe that they could do that thing, or that they were going to do that, or to tap into subtle memories or whatever. But that's a whole other episode for another time. But it's about that deep connection and that subtle feeling that you have to tap into.
Yeah. And I think that also happens with Reiki too, as far as that deep connection to subtle energies, because when you have somebody working with you, that's what they're tapping into. I remember with my Reiki session, God, it was the really good one that I had was like pretty emotional and intense, but we talked about it after the fact, and she connected with things that were in my mind, deep within my mind and in my emotions that I'd never said out loud. I mean, so it's possible. I think this is also where you can get into like psychics and being able to read someone's mind. I don't think you're actually reading their mind. I think you're reading their energies.
Yeah, absolutely. So is there anything else you want to add to this conversation? Is there anything we missed?
I don't think so.
No, if there's any energy practitioners out there, or you have anything else to add to this conversation, hit us up on Instagram or email us or whatever. I love to hear the listeners' input. And yeah, I think that's it. So bye.
Bye.
I'm Reiki.